It was so big that it took me a second to sort out the images and categorize the horrific giant marvel with a word. It was a dragon. We'd covered dragons in newbie training, but only briefly, since nobody ever thought we'd actually see one. There were two known types, Eastern and Western, and both were very powerful, dangerous, with intelligence ranging from smart to brilliant. They were so absurdly, extremely rare, and since no one had encountered one in generations, they were commonly assumed to be extinct. They were definitely not extinct. There was at least one slithering along right in front of me, and if he wanted to eat me, there probably wasn't a damn thing I could do about it. The gigantic creature took my breath away. He was so big that my brain was having a hard time calculating the dimensions. His head was the size of a small car. His shoulders were like two elephants squeezed together. I could only see the front legs, but they were shaped more like hands, only he could palm a cow like I could palm a basketball. One of the claws hit the floor, but with surprising gentleness. The enormous head dipped, fence post horns tilting to the side, eyeballs the size of my head blinked. The eyelids actually made an audible slap as they closed.
"Have a seat, Mr. Pitt."
The only chair I saw nearby was a gray stone throne. I pointed at that questioningly, but no sounds would come out of my mouth.
"Yes, yes, a nice piece. It belonged to Nebuchadnezzar, a fine specimen of human leadership. I picked that up at auction for a very reasonable price. Please, we have much to discuss, and there is little time."
The massive head swung away as management continued his path along the pillar. I very carefully lowered myself onto the priceless historical artifact. The seat was a little small. The dragon continued speaking, obviously trying to put me at ease.
"Forgive my rudeness. I will attempt to keep my voice down. I do not receive many visitors. Would you care for anything to drink? I have some very nice 1907 Heidsieck, purchased for the Russian royal family but then lost at sea and only recently discovered by divers."
I shook my head no.
"Are you certain? It was a bargain at 200,000 a bottle." "Ah, yes, I forgot. My sources said you are a teetotaler. Very well. Down to business, then."
"You're a dragon?" Considering my current circumstances, it was a remarkably stupid question. But, to be fair, I was still suffering from the awe.
"An astute observation. A dragon. The dark lords of the sky. The fire drakes. The savage lords of a time long since turned to dust. I am one of the last of my fading kind. A man of lesser fiber would have fled at the sight of me, but not you, Mr. Pitt. It appears that I picked the right human for the job."
I had the distinct impression that the giant lizard was trying very hard not to sound patronizing.
"Welcome to my humble abode."
The dragon turned, somehow not crashing any of its enormous body into any of the piled treasures. Now I could see that he had wings, but they were folded tight against his scaled back. The end of his tail whipped around the opposite end of the pillar, almost but not quite hitting a red supercar. It looked Italian. Too bad Mosh wasn't here. He would have known what it was and probably had the courage to ask the dragon if he could take it for a spin. My mind was reeling, trying to recall everything I'd read in training. Management was obviously a Western dragon. The four limbs, long neck, separate wings, and general dinosaur-like build made that obvious. That also meant he could probably breathe fire and fly, all of which were completely irrelevant factoids at this juncture. I wished Fantasy Geek Trip was here. he would have flipped out. As management moved, I realized for the first time that the stone pillar was absolutely covered in flat-screen TVs. There were hundreds of them, all on different channels. The dragon stopped. Once again, he was staring right at me.
Sell. Yes, sell that too.
I looked around, then back at him, confused.
Sell what?
The dragon held up one sword-like fingernail and pointed at his ear, revealing a Bluetooth headset, minuscule against his huge earhole.
Not you. Yes, you. Sell when it gets to $40 a share.
The dragon rolled his eyes. It was a very human expression for a giant lizard.
Do not question my wisdom, Stanley. Very well. Roll it over and purchase more apple. Give my love to Mary. Goodbye. Now, where were we?
It turned out that talking to a dragon multitasking with a hands-free phone was even more confusing than when it was a person.
Me?
Yes, you. Keep up, Mr. Pitt.
The dragon snapped his huge fingers repeatedly at a volume close to gunfire.
Chop, chop.
Then it struck me. Unless his broker was locked upstairs, he was communicating with the outside world.
Your phone works?
Obviously. The MCB's petty jammers mean nothing to me. I own 42% of the company that manufactures their jamming equipment, not to mention redundant shielded cables. Information is power. And if they had thought that far ahead, I have copious backup systems. I must stay connected at all costs. Of all the many things I collect, information is the most important. Display security cameras.
The TVs were on a voice-activated system, and every screen changed to show me the same view as Mitch's office.
Information is the reason why I organized ICMHP to begin with.
I don't understand. Why?
By your current human legal definitions, I am classified as a monster. The conference guests, by career choice, are primarily hunters of monsters. The remainder are the administrators of the hunting of monsters, or the scholarly that debate the minutiae of any poor creature that falls into the category that you so flippantly refer to as puff applicable. It behooves me to keep abreast of trends in the industry that very well might someday attempt to murder me in my sleep. Would you not agree?
Sounds reasonable.
Is there place for such reasonable creatures as I in such an unreasonable world as this?
Management's laugh shook the entire cavern. The sudden exhalation of hot air caused a stack of bearer's bonds to fly across the cave. I caught one, and for a split second owned 1,000 shares of Ford. I put it back gently on the arm of the throne.
Of course, I have dealt with MHI before. I am fully aware of the character of your organization. Earl Harbinger has developed a reputation for integrity and honor in the monster community. Even foul and otherwise unlikable creatures have been ignored by MHI unless they are believed to be dangerous. You even spare gnomes.
The dragon got a wistful look in his eye.
Gnomes. You can't eat just one. I believe you humans would say that they are like popcorn. But as I was saying, as long as I mind my own business, then I know I have nothing to fear from MHI. From the lowliest of humanoids to the spectral Wendigo, MHI has demonstrated a willingness to put logic over profit, a concept that few of either of our species seem to grasp.
MHI took pride in being picky. There were far too many examples of creatures that had ended up on the puff table somehow, but weren't really any sort of danger to mankind. Those we left alone. However, if we believed their type or species to be a threat, then it was game on, and we'd cash that puff check with a smile and sleep like a baby. It was an understandable ethic from a company run by a werewolf. Thanks.
However, I do not know so much about your competitors, nor your federal overseers. They worry me. They strike me as a sort of modern knight, ready to destroy that which they have predetermined to be evil without ever granting the barest thoughts to determining if that classification is just. Do you know how many annoying, chivalrous knights I have had to eat over the years? I do not enjoy eating knights. Steel does not digest so well.
I nodded slowly at the creature that could swallow me and the throne of Nebuchadnezzar in one bite.
Nor does chainmail. It sticks in the teeth. It has been centuries since I last ate a virgin, and that was purely by accident, I assure you. Human maidens taste about the same as anyone else, but old stereotypes die hard. I have changed with the times. I promise you that I am not coming to steal your maidens, and my shiny trinkets have been collected through honest labor and sound investment. M.H.I., being reasonable, would understand that I am no menace, and can be counted on to leave me in peace. The others I am not so sure about. So you can see why it behooves me to pay attention to what hunters are about. Thus was born the seed of the idea that would become the International Conference of Monster-Hunting Professionals. A win-win, mutually beneficial situation for both of us. You are able to network and make valuable business connections, and for me, every conversation you hunters have held has been recorded for my study, and, dare I add, in some cases, amusement. How scandalous.
We had been used by a big lizard, but I wasn't going to argue with him about it. Why did you bring me here? Management made a noise that had to be the dragon equivalent of a chuckle. It was about as loud as two dump trucks in a head-on collision.
I have been around for a very long time. Over the centuries, I have seen humans come and go. I recognize your type. The various factions that constantly vie for control of this universe enjoy picking their champions. You are one such individual. Of course, there are others like you here as well. However, you were the first one courageous enough to get into an elevator by himself since I decided it was time to make contact.
I had a sneaky feeling that courageous was a code word for foolish.
I am as concerned about today's events as you are. This is, after all, my humble home that has been so crassly invaded by this dread Noctmar. I would like to help repel this invader, and I trust that you are up to this challenge. I will attempt to assist you in defeating our common foe. All I ask in return is that you do not speak of my existence.
It wasn't like I could disagree with the monster that could squish me like a bug in his own living room. I can do that.
There is no doubt that you can keep a secret, but, as you can see, I have eyes everywhere. If you tell the world about me, I will find out. So I warn you first, Mr. Pitt.
Here comes the part where he threatens to eat me.
I will ask you to sign a non-disclosure agreement. If you reveal me, I can assure you that you will be hearing from my attorneys.
Okay, not what I expected. Fair enough. How can I help?
This invader is disrupting the cash flow of one of my most profitable endeavors, not to mention the MCB slandering the reputation of my establishment. Our grand opening is soon, and I do not want the word on every critic's lips concerning the last dragon to be Ebola. I want this being destroyed.
We've been working on it. If we don't succeed, it'll kill everyone here. That's already a pretty darn good motivator.
I would agree with this assessment. These are dark days indeed, my friend. The quarantine alone has already caused my stock to plummet, 1,000 deaths would be a marketing disaster. Today's activities have caused me grave concern. Display marked events.
Every TV changed simultaneously, all of them showing different angles of the Nachtmar's various attacks.
I myself am nearly indestructible. However, I did not leverage my considerable wealth into building this marvelous place only to see it burned down by do-gooder knights.
Especially with us still inside. It sounds like we have compatible goals here. I'm okay with combining forces, Mr. Management.
And to think Earl had accused me of lacking diplomacy. So, do you have any idea of what this monster is?
That I do not, young Mr. Pitt. The descriptor you have chosen for it seems apt enough, for it is a thing of nightmares. From listening to your conversations, I have come to a few conclusions that may differ from those of your learned fellows. From the evidence, I tend to agree that it is a relic of the madness that led to Decision Week, but I believe the proper question you should be asking yourself is, where did it come from before that?
What do you mean?
The dragon snorted. It sucked the bearer bond shower back across the cave.
I paid special attention to the events of that particular human war. A war so terrible that it intruded into the interests of my kind. These were not all new technologies the human scientist invented. Some were of the old ways, twisted. Your scientists were fools. The old ways do not enslave easily, nor do they bow willingly, and then only before the strongest of masters. Even among those, it is only a matter of time before the darkness corrupts them to its own nefarious desires. You have known a few men of this caliber, Martin Hood, for example, or Lord Mashado.
Two very good examples of men poking around in things way over their heads. You know about them?
As I said, I have eyes everywhere. I knew of Lord Mashado when he was still alive, yet even men of will sufficient to overcome physical death still end up as mere pawns to the warring factions eventually.
You know a lot about these things. Mind if I ask you a few questions?
Understandable, since the factions and their endless war are now hopelessly intertwined with your destiny, I would expect no less. I will be glad to address your concerns over tea and cookies once we are no longer under the pressing threat of imminent destruction. As I was saying, the learned men of Decision Week delved into mysteries far beyond their means. When the knights outside realized the tremendous nature of this threat, they changed their plans, and, like knights always do, decided to resort to violence.
The dragon studied me quizzically.
I can see that I lost you. Display exterior intercepts.
The screens changed to show the quarantine.
I have been monitoring the communications of the one you call Stricken. A soul of such indescribable foulness so very seldom pollutes this world.
So you met.
A scaly ridge over Management's eye rose.
Oh, yes. Long ago. Do not trifle with that one, Mr. Pitt. He is no knight, deluded by chivalry or noble concepts. He is the devil made flesh. I intercepted this message 15 minutes ago. The following transmission was encrypted. However, it was encrypted using software created under contract by a company that's mostly owned by one of my shell corporations. Play audio recording number 34. Increase volume to normal human auditory levels.
The multitude of TVs all switched to the same view. A blue armored personnel carrier that had SWAT on the side in big white letters. There were a lot of antennas on the back of the APC. The next voice that came over the speakers was clearly that of Stricken.